And even when you go away or whatever, you have there's a desire to get back. And it's always to get back home. And when no matter you have a good time and everything, you realize one day I'm going home. And there is that desire there that's in a person to go. And so I want to talk to you about this verse here. Notice what he says in Psalms 39, and I'm just going to read. If you want to see, look in verse 5. This is not my verse, but it's a good verse for you to underline. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. That's not very long, is it? I mean, when you consider, you say, well, I might live 100 years. You might live 110 years for all I know. But compared that to eternity, it's just like a handbreadth. James put your life as a vapor. It appeareth, vanishes away. I look at my life and it seems like it was just yesterday. I was just a boy. And I look and it's gone. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I see white hair, wrinkles. And I realize time's moving on. It's just like a handbreadth. Not very long. You might think you're young. And you might think, well, I got plenty of time. Just like a handbreadth. Not very long at all. He says, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. My age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state, the very best man can be, is what? Is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in vain, in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Who's going to spend what you gather? You heap it up, he says. God it made. But who's going to spend them? Then he goes on, he says, verse 7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. He's talking about he knows he's going to die. He knows his life has come and he's in the sunset days of his life. And what am I waiting for? My hope is in thee. And I want to talk to you about that hope. What are you hoping for? What is your hope in? Now, number one, it's a known fact. You're going to die. I mean, folks, there ain't no getting around this thing. If the Lord doesn't come back, you're going to die. People look forward to different things. They look forward to retirement. They look forward to getting a better job. They look forward to a new home. They look forward to a new automobile. They look forward to this and that, material things. And I've talked to men, and they're talking about, boy, I'm looking forward to retirement. And I've asked them, I'd say, well, then what? And I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I'm saying, after that? And it keeps on going, well, what about after that? And finally they come up and they realize where I'm going with it. I'm going to die. Then what? What is your hope in? Do you have the hope of getting out of that grave? Do you have a hope? If you're hoping in your riches and you're trusting in your riches, if you're trusting in your goodness, that's not much to put no hope in. The Bible calls them uncertain. And Paul talks about charging them that are rich not to trust in the uncertainty of riches, to be not high-minded. Don't think that your money can buy you another breath of fresh air. Don't think that your goodness can get you one more beat on your heart. We're going to die. The Bible says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Your life, as I've said before, is even as a vapor. It appeareth and it vanishes away. It's like steam going up. It's like the flower in the field, and it comes up and it withers out and it runs its course and it dies. It's like in springtime life, how the Spirit of God, the Bible says, moves upon the face of the earth and brings forth life in the springtime, and then in the summer, the heat, in the fall, and what is the winter? It dies. What part of your life are you in right now? Some of you's in the summertime and you're having a good time. Some of you's in the fall of your life. But some of you's headed right into wintertime. And you might be young and headed into wintertime. The point is, folks, what are you hoping in? What's your hope? David said, my hope's in thee, Lord. My hope is not in death. I'm not hoping to die. My hope is not in death. You understand that? I believe when a man dies, if he's a child of God, I believe that he goes into the presence of the Lord. I don't believe that his spirit and soul, whatever, just goes down wherever. I believe that he goes into the presence of the Lord. I believe the new man, the new creation, and his soul, the new man that he is in Christ Jesus, I believe that part of him goes into the presence of the Lord, and he's asleep in the Lord up there somewhere. But that's not my hope. What is my hope? Well, let's look at some things. Number one, the hope is to rejoice. And turn to Romans chapter 12. Whatever this hope is, you ought to be rejoicing about it. But you know, you can't rejoice about it if you don't know what it is. In Romans chapter 12, notice what he says. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Now, how in the world then is something to rejoice about? This hope that I'm talking about is something to rejoice. You ought to be rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer. And by the way, you want to know what a good example while we're here? Of being instant in prayer. Look back with me to Chronicles. Hang on to Romans now. Look in 1 Chronicles in chapter 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. In 1 Chronicles notice what he says there in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 20. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. Why? For they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. Do you know when did they cry to God? While they're fighting. They're in the battle. That's what instant in prayer is. I mean, boom, if something happens right then, right there on the spot, you cry to the Lord. You put your trust in him. That's being instant in prayer. It's being where you can talk to the Lord at any time, at any given situation. But anyway, that's another subject. The verse I want you to see, rejoicing in hope.
It's a hope to rejoice in. What is this hope? Well, let's look at something else about it. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians and look in 1 Thessalonians and notice in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For a helmet, head knowledge, a knowledge of salvation, something that you know. It's the hope of salvation. Well, you got to know something about it. That's what he's talking about. A helmet has to do with knowing something. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now what about this hope? Well, it's a helmet. We're to rejoice in it. Romans chapter 8, notice what he says. In verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And you ought to underline that glory. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature, and folks, you know that manifestation? In other words, we're going to be manifested to somebody, somewhere, sometime. And whenever that happens, what the creation's waiting on. It has to do with you, folks. For the creature, creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Just as this earth is going to be delivered from that bondage that the curse was put upon them, so we will be delivered from a bondage that we have on us right now. We are bound. We're in bondage. And we'll look at that in a moment. But look on. And he's talking about the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. While Paul said, when I do good, what's present with me? Look back in chapter 7. In chapter 7, notice what he said. In verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I mean, folks, that's the chronicles of a Christian right there. The things that you don't want to do, you find yourself doing. That you want to do, you don't know how to perform it. And it's a constant struggle, a constant battle. Look what he goes on. He said, verse, I found then a law, verse 21, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members, that body. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You're under that bondage. You're under that corruption, just as the earth is, and the earth is travailing in pain and waiting for the manifestations of the Son of God unto the glorious liberty of the sons of God. You know what that is? And he said, we're saved by hope. Look back in the verse. He said, verse there, verse 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? For if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What is that hope? Hope, now listen, hope is the anticipation and the expectation in the heart of the believers for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. You know what that hope is? That's the rapture of the church. That's the coming of the Lord for the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace. That's my hope. My hope is that He'll come and deliver me from this body of death that keeps me from serving the Lord. And that my hope is that someday I'll be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the manifestation of the glory of God, of the sons of God. Look with me in the passage in Romans 8. He said there in verse 19 again, for the earnest expectation of the creature, creation, waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You know what your glorification is? That's when you're like Jesus Christ. Now your inward man is created in the image of God and has that spiritual image that Adam lost in the garden. But that image that you are in Christ Jesus, it's inside a body of corruption, a body of flesh that hinders you and keeps you from serving the Lord. Now don't run out of here and say, well, I got a good excuse for not doing nothing for the Lord, my body. No, you're to reckon your body dead. You're to reckon that old man dead unto sin and don't cater to him. The Bible talks about fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And we as Christians fail miserably there. We cater to a dead person. That's right, you're dead. Your old man was crucified with Christ, and as far as God's concerned, that old man is dead. We drag that old dead corpse around with us and we pamper it and we take care of it and we powder it and we perfume it and we do all of the things that we need to do for it. I mean, nobody's not feeding it. I mean, look at it. And we do all of that and we spend more time catering to a dead corpse than we do the inward man, the new creation that God created in us. And one day that new man is going to have a new body. And we'll be the glorious manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 29, here's the ultimate hope. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Look in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15 is about the resurrection. Notice what he says there. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earth, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Look in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking for Him today? I am. What's going to happen? Verse 21. Who shall change our vile body? Vile body? Yeah, vile body. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself? There's a day in the future out there somewhere, someday, that the Lord is coming down into the heavens out there, and we're going to be caught up together to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when that day happens, our old vile bodies will be changed, and we'll have a new body fashioned like unto His glorious body. And that'll be the glorious manifestation of the sons of God. That's my hope. Why? To be like Christ. Notice in Philippians, while you're there, look back with me. He talks about it. Notice what he says there.
I'll tell you what, come over with me to Colossians. That'll be a good one. I'll just use that one. In Colossians, notice in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. He says there in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth upon the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. Ye are dead. Ye are dead. That's why you shouldn't have your affection set on things on this earth. Now I realize, you know what Paul says? We talk about following Paul. I'm going to tell you what he said. And you can check it out. In 1 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 6, he says, having food and raiment to be what? Content. That's what he says. Having food and raiment to be content. He said, I've learned that whatever state that I'm in, whether I'm hungry, he said, I've been hungry, I've been full. He said, I've been rich, I've been poor. I've had clothes, I've been naked. And he said, whatever state that I'm in, I'm content with it. His affection was on heavenly things. I've heard people say, well, you can get so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. I've never met nobody like that. Let's read on. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in what? Glory is not a place. Glory is a state. You remember I told you to remember the word glory? What is that glory? What is my hope is? My hope to be is to be conformed to the image of His Son. My hope is to be in glory with Him as a Son of God, to be manifested as a Son of Almighty God. That's my hope. When is that going to take place? That's going to take place at the resurrection, at the rapture of the church. The body of Christ will be called out. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
My hope is not in death. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant. Brother, there's a lot of people like that. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, you believe that? Rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, if God's going to bring with him, I know up above the heavens out there, according to the Bible, there's water. And I know above that is a place where God dwells. And there these skies and that water that up there is like a curtain. And God spread it out. It's like you take a curtain and you spread it out. And they're clothes. And that's something. And he talks about it in Hebrews. And he talks about it in Psalms. He talks about it in Isaiah. That the heavens is like a curtain. And I don't have time to go through all the references. Well, I know the Lord dwelleth in a light that no man can approach unto. You know what that light is? 1 John says, God is light, and in him is no darkness. Well, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ went far above all heavens to fill all things. And so someday he's coming back. Isaiah talks about a path through them waters up there. Now, if you believe if you believe this book, you know more about the universe than the scientist knows with the PhDs. Because they don't believe there's no water up there. And John saw it as a sea of glass. Job describes it as being frozen. And it's where Leviathan, Satan, he goes up and he gets into that water. He can't go through it. And so, you have it like that. Of course, you really don't, because there's no end to it. It just keeps on going and going and going and going. But anyway, the earth, and we're down here. We're just a little grain of sand in God's creation. And we're just a little microscopic. You'd have to have a powerful microscope to see us on that grain of sand in God's creation. He's a big God. Don't you understand that? While Solomon said, "Well, how can I build a house for you, Lord? The heavens and the heavens of heavens can't contain you." Can you imagine? I mean, they talk about the billions of stars. Of course, I think when they talk about all of that, I think a lot. You know, have you ever stood in front of mirrors? And you'd go into these stores and you'd have a mirror and a mirror, you know, and sort of you'd step in there and you look this way and you see this side and you look that way and see that side. And if you turn just right, it's like you're looking all the way down, see a whole bunch of mirrors. And y'all never done that? Winston, do you ever seen that? What's the matter, y'all? Y'all never played when you was a little kid? We used to go in a store called Smithy's.
You had Smithies. How many remember Smithies in Statesville? They had a mirror in there, and it was like that. And I'd get in there, and I'd look down through, and I'd see me well down yonder. Look back this way and see me well down yonder. Different. I just wonder sometimes if God just ain't fooling with the minds of these so-called scientists, and they think, man, they see this, and they think, whoa, billions and billions and billions of light years away, blah, blah, blah. And they just look at it in the reflection off of that water, and it's just like, anyway, that's, let me go on. Look what he said. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Well, then if he brings them with him, then they got to be with him. How did they get with him? Well, they went with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, this thing is translated, the word prevent is translated in Philippians 3:16 as attain already. It's also attained in Romans 9:31. In other words, Paul said, I hadn't attained unto the rest. He hadn't got to that point. In other words, they're not going to get theirs before you. All right? They're not going to get something before you that which are alive. The people that are with the Lord right now, they're not walking the streets of gold, eating watermelons as big as Volkswagens, and shouting hallelujah and glory to God and all this, and having a great time waiting on us and we're down here. No. They're going to experience the rapture of the church just like us. All right, look what he said. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And in 1 Corinthians 15:51, he talks about this same event in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. Now, in other words, it's going to happen like the blink of an eye. And they're coming down, the Lord's coming down with them into the atmosphere out here, and it's all, and we're going up to meet with them, and we're going up together. And we're going to meet them in the clouds out here. And folks, it's going to happen just faster than you can snap your fingers. So they're going to wake up, and we're going up, and they died in time. We're caught up in time. So wherever they died in time, it's as though time ceased for them. And when they awake, it's as though they wake at the point of where they died in time. Did that make any sense? In other words, it's like no time elapsed from them. Well, where are they at? They floating around? No. Look back with me in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and that's about what's going to happen, it's going to be dissolved. Just one. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands. What's that next word? Huh? See if you're reading with me. It's eternal. Now, how long is eternal? Don't have an end. Is that we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this, that house that's eternal, in this we groan earnestly desiring
to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, and that house which is from heaven is eternal. Right? If so be that we be enclosed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, if they leave out of here and they die, let's say, and they go to be with the Lord, the Lord's up there, dwelling in the light that no man can approach unto, then up there must be a house for them. Amen? You that are saved in here, do you have a house in heaven? Is it eternal? Then if it's eternal, it can't never be dissolved. It can't never go away. It's there in heaven. Amen? Well, you see what I believe happens at death. Look what he says. Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, that'd be dead, but clothed upon. In other words, raptured. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is of God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is like the down payment that someday you're going to be the finished product. Well, therefore, we're always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If we're at home in our body, then we're absent from the Lord, but we're willing to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And folks, what I'm saying, when a Christian dies and he goes, his new man, the new creation, the inward man, he goes and somewhere up there with the Lord, there is a building, a house that's eternal for him, and boom, he's in that new body up there asleep. And when the trump of the Lord sounds, he awakes, and when he awakes, he's here with us in the clouds as though he never died, and he will never, you say, how was it to die? I hadn't died. I never died. Are y'all with me? So that death is swallowed up in what? Victory. And that they can say, oh death, where's thy sting? Oh grave, where's thy victory? I mean, when they awake up the same time we go up, and we're boom there all together to meet the Lord as one member of the body of Christ, as Robbie was talking about the lake of water, the unit, one body of Christ, meeting the Lord, the head, at the same time and having a new body, and then we'll be manifested, the sons of God, to the whole creation out there, and we'll rule and reign with Christ forever. Brother, that's my hope. Shake hands with one another and you can go. Thank you.